And I'm excited about our next guest.
Yes, well, we love her. Senator Jessica Ramos. Now, you may not agree with her politics, but she's a real fighter for the underdog. That's what I really like about her. And we're always happy to have Jessica on the show with us. Good morning, Jessica. How are you?
Hi, good morning.
Now, you and Laura know each other, right?
Actually, I know your husband, Brendan, because when he was at UFCW, they endorsed my candidacy.
Oh, yeah.
And he's darling.
We've been separated and divorced now for a long time.
Oh, dear. That was such a faux pas.
For many years.
So when you won, when you first won Senate, you were still together, though?
When I won the primary, not when I won the general.
I am really embarrassed. I'm sorry, Jessica.
We have not been together now for at least 4 years.
Okay.
Well, we'll continue to be probing your personal life this morning,
sorry,
Jessica.
Sorry about that.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Hey, Jessica, something you've taken up, and I think I agree wholeheartedly with you on this one. The food vendors are protesting at City Hall because they got all this bureaucracy that keeps them from doing a job. But there's a guy out here, he's got a... right by our studio, Muhammad. Everybody loves him. He's got a vending place there, sells us coffee in the morning. These are hardworking people. Why is it so difficult for them to get licensed to sell us coffee, water? I mean, these are good people. These are the kind of people you want in New York City.
These are hardworking people, and street vending work is really hard work, and sometimes the only work that's available, especially for people who don't have documentation, who don't have the immigration status to get, you know, a career job. And so these street vendors really provide a service, but since the Koch administration,
wow.
We have not seen a real increment in permits. Now, last year, the city council passed a law called Intro 1116, and that incremented the permits a little bit for 400 more permits, but those permits haven't been released under this current mayoral administration. And you know, there's less than 5,000 permits that are available. It has created an underground market where street vendors end up having to sublease their permit, and even though it costs $250 to get one, to sublease one, they end up paying like $25,000 a year.
Wow.
And there's about 5,000 permits, but there's 20,000 street vendors in the entire city. And again, these are people doing honest work, many times providing a real service, and somehow we have decided that we're going to criminalize them, that the city's going to criminalize them instead of helping them legalize their businesses and hopefully put them on a path to a brick and mortar.
Yeah, and these are people who want to work. They want to be law-abiding, productive people, contributing to the city, contributing to the state, and it's just the system just makes it so difficult for them.
Yeah, you know, they help us generate a lot of sales tax revenue.
That's right.
And they're job providers, certainly. And given the economic situation that we're in, many times this is the only lunch that a lot of people can afford nowadays. But let me tell you, I've seen those tamale ladies. They wake up at 2-3 o'clock in the morning in order to make those tamales, make sure that they're at the stop by 5-6 o'clock in the morning so that they're free by 8 o'clock to drop off their children at school. And we can't knock that hustle. That's a real New York hustle. We should be rewarding these entrepreneurs for their hard work.
Absolutely.
I agree.
You know, Jessica, I'm interested in getting your opinion. You know, we have migrants from the border being shipped up here, and their Mayor Adams, you know, trying to solve the problem as a mayor does, came up with this idea for putting up tents in the Bronx in AOC's district, in the Congresswoman's district. She said it's not going to work. It's a flood zone. But it looked a little to me like NIMBYism. And I was just curious to get your thoughts on that.
Well, to me, it's not NIMBYism. I actually want the migrants as close to our community as possible. Mm-hmm. That's actually the issue. We want, you know, I'm Colombian. I represent a largely Latino, mostly South American district. We are culturally competent and prepared to help these migrants navigate the city, navigate systems, and hopefully set them on a path, you know, to establish a life here.
Mm-hmm.
we don't want them in flood zones, but more importantly, we're now walking straight into fall and winter. These folks don't know winter. They don't know a New York City winter. Yeah. The city's not providing them with warm coats or socks. If they are sleeping in tents, the chance of them getting a cold or getting a flu is pretty high. And if all of those folks start getting sick, they're going to get the rest of us sick. I know we have to have learned something during the pandemic. This is not a smart idea. They need a roof, they need heat, and they can't be in the flood zone. These are basic, this should be, you know, basic criteria that should be included in our right to shelter.
So where would you put them, Jessica? Where should they go? Oh,
they're going to Randall's Island.
Well, I know, but if they're going to be in tents there when it's cold, as she said, where do they go during the winter?
And no community.
And Randall's Island is a flood zone, too. The M35, the bus, is the only way in and out for people who don't know this city. They'd be isolated. I would put them in the Jacob Javits Center. I would ask stadiums that are being used to see if they can be repurposed, rejiggered for now, temporarily, while we make it through the winter. This is really important. We're talking about, you know, not just single men. We're talking about whole families with children, with elders. We can't have them freezing in the cold.
So Mayor Adams yesterday or the day before was saying, look, I'm getting it from the right. I'm getting no help from the left. I'm on my own here. And I get the sense, one feels like he's just sort of stuck on his own with everyone criticizing everything that he's doing with no support even from his
mayor.
Own party.
That's part of the job of being mayor. And I used to work at City Hall before being an elected official. It's a tough job. I don't envy him. And it's tough to make these decisions. But, I mean, we are trying to help. I am trying to help. I am offering suggestions. I mean, we should have, you know, now that we've been through 3 years of the pandemic, we still don't have a plan for all of this unused office space and commercial spaces, particularly in Manhattan, for example. This is all time that we're wasting. Every day that we do not repurpose spaces, when we see that people are being displaced, for all sorts of reasons, not only from other countries, but even internally. Heaven forbid another hurricane hits the Rockaways or East Elmhurst, where I'm from, you know, and we have to think of emergency housing for these people. What's the glaring omission here, I think, is that the city is unprepared for catastrophe, even though we've been in crisis management mode for the last few years. Mm. And we have to get serious about this.
Well, you got some tension there, Jessica, because, you know, if you want to repurpose these offices to house people, you got the mayor saying to everybody, you got to get back to work. Come back to work. We want you back to work to keep the Midtown economy going.
That the latter is the key, right? Everybody, you know, feels that we have to come back to Manhattan in order to get back to work. And that is true for many professions. That's not true for many others. And actually, we've seen small businesses in Queens and other boroughs bounce back faster because people have decided to work from cafes and restaurants closer to home. And when we don't have universal childcare to provide workers, well, that's what makes it easier for them to continue to produce for their bosses, right? And that many times is much more important. So actually decentralizing Manhattan, I think, is part of the bigger answer for our economic recovery.
All right. Senator Jessica Ramos, always fighting the good fight. Thanks, Jessica. Take care. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Bye, Jessica.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye. Coming up next, Aaron Judge did it. His 62nd home run. We've got the details. Plus, this is a good one, Laura. What's going on between Giselle and Tom Brady?
A lot of happy men and women out there thinking they have a chance.
Right. Yes, you are absolutely right, because I'm looking at a picture of Giselle right on my computer now. I'm very happy.
He's pretty sweet, too.
It's coming up next. WOR has your chance to see John Mellencamp on his upcoming tour. You and a guest will fly to see the tour stop of your choice. Going to include airfare, hotel, and VIP tickets. Plus, go backstage to meet John and go home with handwritten lyrics from one of his songs. All thanks to AEG. Go to iHeartRadio.com/John Mellencamp to enter now.